on Senate Bill 144, an act to provide certain financial and employment protections to members of the South Dakota National Guard.
Jim, would you look down there and see if Adelstein, I think he's in appropriations, though.
He would be.
While we're in a holding pattern, the committee was going to discuss items for summer study. Will anyone who have items they wish the executive board to consider, they would be appropriate at this time.
Chairman.
Representative Hansen.
A suggestion with regard to the availability of looking at the insurance industry, but primarily zeroing on the hospital medical, perhaps an attempt to find some type of policy that would maybe be able to reduce cost and provide coverages to a bigger range of people.
Everybody understand what the suggestion is? Representative Broderick.
It seems like we had a bill this session that would address that by allowing, pardon me, by allowing insurance companies to take out of a policy any mandates that the state of South Dakota put on them, and for some reason or another that didn't fly. I believe it was killed in the Senate.
I believe it was also had a reconsideration, which also didn't pass the second time.
And I think I signed on to that bill. I thought it sounded like a reasonable thing to do in helping to lower insurance premiums for people that I guess I gave as an example. To mandate mammography as a single person, male. Now, why would I want that in my policy? Now, if it was a mandate for PSA screening, then I would want that in my policy. I don't know if the eventuality would be lower insurance rates or not, but it seems to me it would be worth a try.
Serious situation in not only in South Dakota, many other states, that insurance companies are leaving, pulling out, and I think we've lost, I think it was four companies this past year. A total of 50 insurance companies have pulled out of South Dakota for other types of coverage. It is a serious problem. I don't know, personally myself, I would have been interested in a policy like you're discussing. Since my deductible is so high, I don't get any benefit out of any of those anyway. Any other discussion? Representative Glinski.
Well, for insurance companies, it'd probably be a cost item if they had to print up two types of policies, which would result from that kind of consideration. I think it might be helpful if our summer study helped to broaden the public information about what's out there to help people now. Because I think there are things out there that maybe people who are most in need don't know about.
Along this very line that we're talking about there, you know, you have heard this past session that each insurance company must dedicate 2% to high risk. That 2% in all of the companies that are doing business in South Dakota is already fulfilled. There's some discussion with the department about increasing that amount. Whether that means more companies pull out of our state, I don't know. Representative Solem, you had a comment?
He's on Medicare.
I think he's on Novocaine sometime. Is the committee position? What's your sense? Is this something that the committee as a whole would like to submit to the executive board for consideration? Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the focus of the summer study should be on the mandates and to see if the cost really makes any difference. And maybe there could be, you know, a blending of the Senate idea of, the Senate idea was basically all or nothing. You would have two plans. But, you know, maybe insurance companies could cost out what those mandates are, and then you could accept the plan where you have every mandate, or you could accept an a la carte plan and add mandates as is appropriate to you. So I think that the summer study should go forward on the mandate issue, because, as you know, if you get too broad, you don't really accomplish anything. But we've been hearing a lot of talk about mandates. So are you looking for a motion, or what are you looking
at this
for?
At this point, I think if we could identify or put this in some kind of sentence that Jackie can make sense out of what our intention are here. As I hear from Representative Hansen, you want to study the bill or the proposal that was in the Senate bill without the mandates.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's correct. And I think that Senate bill zeroed in not so much on, now I'm not sure what all we've had for mandates. I know that we passed the one last year on the PSA test, and a few years ago you passed the one on the mammogram. And, you know, the insurance companies have expressed some objection to that, to those types of things. But I'm not totally convinced in my mind that those are the really big expense items. And I think that if I'm interpreting the wording in that Senate bill correctly, it got into a little bit more extensive types of things that really do cost the insurance companies some money, such as mental illness, alcoholism treatment. And, you know, this is not something to be taken lightly, because I think that if the insurance company is in position to write policies for, the, if you want to call them, healthy people, the ones who live a lifestyle that kind of greatly reduces or eliminates the probability of those types of expenses, the insurance company can provide a lot of good coverage for a lot less money. But the negative side of that, as far as society is concerned, is that you have the people who need that type of coverage, and all of a sudden, the policy that's left for those kind of people, the expense just goes up even higher and higher. So, I think that it's kind of a balancing act between where do, if you want to put it this way, that the healthy people, the healthy people, we are subsidizing those who have a lot of health care expenses. Now, at what point is that overburdened, too much to the other side? And so it's, I think that it's a very complex issue that, there's not going to be a real clear-cut answer. And the Department of Insurance, the companies, we need input from all of those. We could even, expand it to look at things like, I don't know what it's called, insurance savings plans, where if somebody does not use their policy, they get some reduction in premium. It's an encouragement for people to be a little bit more judicious in when they go to the doctor, when they go to the emergency room, and things like that. So,
if I could try to... Have you got something down here that makes some sense, Jackie? What I'm hearing you say is you'd like to study the feasibility of the insurance companies having the option to offer a health insurance plan that would exclude mandates, with the option of the individual picking or choosing the ones that they desire. Is that stating? Everybody kind of understand that? Any other discussion? Representative Siebert, turn your mic on.
Insurance is sharing the risk, and I guess I'm a little bit, we all that pay policies, we pay for the heavier burden, but that's the purpose of insurance. And when we get into starting to pick what might be good for me or good for you, I don't know if that's necessarily a good deal. If I have a risk in my family, I'm certainly going to insure for that part, but then I start letting other things go. And all of a sudden you have a motorcycle accident and I'm not covered. Is that what we're trying to study, is to find out what we want to insure for? Or I'm not sure.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think clearly, clearly insurance companies need to offer a policy that has all those mandates covered. But I think what we're talking about is we keep hearing that these mandates are driving insurance companies out. The first thing I think the summer study would do is say, how much do these 13 mandates cost you per policy? And if it's 14 cents, then shut up and offer the mandates. But on the other hand, if the expenses truly are onerous, then I do think you have a situation where, for example, we mandate that a woman gets 48 hours in the hospital for having a child. Well, if you're a 62-year-old woman, do you really need that mandate anymore? And so I guess I would see this summer study doing two things. First of all, investigating this cost of mandates, and is it a true cost or is it a mythical cost? And if it's a mythical cost, then we're done. If it's a true cost, and if insurance companies can cost out each of these mandates, which I think they should be able to do, then you look at the feasibility of offering perhaps three plans. The Cadillac plan, if I can call it that, covers all the mandates. The bare bones plan, if I can call it that, that covers no mandates. And the, for lack of a better term, the a la carte plan, where perhaps I, as a guy who's got a wife and childbearing years, maybe want all the mandates. Or maybe if I'm a retired individual, maybe I want the mammography and I want the PSA for my wife and I. And you still spread the risk, but it's not the same as, you know, people paying for every mandate regardless of the age. And maybe it's not a feasible thing. And maybe when we're done with the summer study, we decide that it's a feasible thing but not a socially good thing to do, and we don't do it. But that's the purpose of having a summer study. I mean, if we already know what the conclusion is, there's no sense going through the charade of a study. So that's what I'd like to see, because I keep hearing year after year after year the mandates are killing us. Well, are they really? So let's find out.
Jackie has put together, I think, capturing what we're talking about. Let me read it to you. A study of health insurance availability, specifically looking at the mandates currently in place, their cost, and the feasibility of offering policies with or without certain mandates. Does that capture the committee's flavor? All those in favor of that topic for a summer study suggestion from the Commerce Committee will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Well, we'll go on consent then. Any other items? We'll hold off on anyone. I see we have Senator Vitter here. We didn't kill your bill, Senator Vitter. Senate Bill 144, an act to provide certain financial and employment protections to members of the South Dakota National Guard.
Mr. Chairman, good morning, and I apologize that I got tied up in appropriations. I was going to run around and lost track of time, and I apologize. I didn't think it was unimportant. I knew I had to testify. I'm sorry. To the committee, I'm sorry about that. I heard that statement was made. I just wanted to clear that up. Senate Bill 144 came from, I was looking at CNN after 911, and I saw some people on television that was from around the country were saying that they were in danger of losing their house and their property because their spouses had been called off in the active duty for the National Guard, and they didn't know if they could make the payments. And so with that, LRC and I and the National Guard started looking into something. And what takes place is that under the Sail and Soldier Act, if the President of the United States orders the National Guard into active duty, they are covered under the Soldier and Sailor Act, and you cannot repossess their property. But if the governor of this state calls them into active duty, say like he puts those people on active duty to guard the airports or something, and they're on prolonged active duty, they were not covered under the Soldier and Sailor Act. What this does, from a lot of research and by the National Guard and by LRC, we found that we needed a provision that the governor, when he calls them into active duty, they would fall under the Sojourn Sale Act, and that's what this bill is all about.
Thank you, Senator Ritter. Any other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents? Any questions? Representative Olson.
I think what I said is the bill was such a slam dunk that nobody needed to testify, not that it was unimportant.
Maybe I was misunderstood. You made me nervous, though.
Any other questions? Representative Solem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Drew, I see that you have repealed Section 2, which pertains to members of the Ready Reserve and so on. What's the reason for that?
Repeat the question again.
Well,
please.
Section 2 repealed the Ready Reserve as being part of this particular legislation.
According to the National Guard, that had to be done in order for this to be activated in its right form.
Any other questions? Representative Glinski.
Senator Vitter, the part that's been repealed appears to apply to the 2 weeks of training every year.
Yes, ma'am.
So that's no longer covered?
For 2 weeks, you wouldn't be in a mortgage situation. This covers the mortgage and property situation.
Follow up?
Are there any other differences between what's being canceled or repealed and what you're asking us to put into law?
No, ma'am. If I may, Mr. Chairman, follow up, it looks like the National Guard said that this was in perfect order for what they needed done to do.
Follow up?
So am I to understand that this mortgage situation is the only thing that's different?
Yes, ma'am. That they can't put a lien against you.
Thank you.
Representative Valandra.
Other type of things, and what you've done is you've basically taken out all the, because now we know that the president has called up the National Guard 10 years ago and most recently, and, mm-hmm. and this just gives them the same authority as an active duty personnel.
Absolutely, Mr. Chairman, absolutely.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So do I understand that this new section covers the protections that we would find in lines 15 through 20 on the back? You don't lose your sick leave, you don't lose your seniority and all that. That's all subsumed under this previous?
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's all covered.
Sounds good.
Any other questions? Representative Siebert?
Do we still have an inactive reserve?
Yes. Yeah.
Is that covered here then, too?
If you called in by the governor to active duty, if you call out of your reserve status into active duty, you're covered under this by the governor. You're covered under this act.
I don't think the governor has the authority to call an inactive reserve, does he?
I'm sorry. Excuse me.
I don't think the governor has the authority to call an inactive reserve member.
I'm not sure about that. No.
Mr.
Representative Peterson?
I think everything's been included in the top section up here. When you get down into the reserves, of course, they are federal, period. They're nothing to do with the state at all. And they would be covered under this act if they were called to active duty anyway. The National Guard that's called in by the governor would not be, and that's all it does is takes care of the South Dakota part. The rest of it is all there. It takes nothing away from those that are on active duty or called on active duty, regardless of what components they're in.
Representative Siebert.
I'm asking the question because of line 13 and 14. It doesn't talk about National Guards. It talks about reserve components of the armed forces, which at one time when I got out of the service, I was forced to be in the reserve for another 6 or 8 years,
mm-hmm.
and it has nothing to do with the National Guard. My question is, do they still have that? And if they do, are we protecting those folks?
Mr. Chairman,
go ahead.
Yeah, anytime the president or if you pass this law, the president or the governor calls anybody to active duty, the Sojourn Sale Act applies. They can't get around that.
Any other questions? Seeing none, we'll close the committee to public testimony for committee discussion and or action on Senate Bill 144. Representative Solem moves due pass, seconded by Representative Peterson. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none. All those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. And the secretary will call the roll.
Bagalka?
Aye.
Frederick?
Aye.
Glinski?
Aye.
Hanson?
Aye.
Madsen?
Aye.
Nesselhoff?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Solem?
Aye.
Valandra?
Aye.
Siebert?
Aye.
Connell?
Aye. Motion passes 12 to nothing.
Consent.
Consent motion by Representative Peterson, seconded by Representative Olson. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Goes on consent.
You'll be very kind.